Tri-City Tipsnet, calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet for Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I'll be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.67, also with PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is twofold. First, to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. We call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. The TIPSNET has three sections. The first, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button and listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you did. Then, if nobody has, then press the mic button and slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name, your location, and your comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign phonetically and your name.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston. Good evening, Jim.
November Kilo 1, Victor, Steve, Coventry. Good evening.
K1DCT and Steve, NK1V. Anyone else that would like to check into the TIPSNET, please come now with your call sign. Might be a late evening this evening. I know with a windstorm, there could be some power outages out there. And with the Vice President presidential debate. There could be people going out to get their popcorn and everything else to get ready for the debate so that they can watch it properly. And, we'll see what happens. This is the first TipsNet of the month, so usually we have a theme. One of the things that was talked about was maybe talk about audio and how people sound and what the difference is in the various audio and what a difference different microphones might make, or what if somebody's using Echolink like I am tonight, or the difference between the different types of microphones. So, in my mind, as the resident expert on sound and what have you, is unable to attend tonight, so I think we'll postpone talking about audio up front and maybe move on to other things. So let me reset real quick. I know that two of the astronauts, who I believe have not gone up into space yet, have gotten their new call signs. They took a class from another astronaut who is helping to promote amateur radio as a hobby. And because there's more and more equipment being put on the International Space Station to allow amateur radio people to communicate, the last thing being a repeater, which I haven't spoken to anybody who's been successful yet in making contact through it, but then again, I haven't asked very many people, so that's probably just me. Anyhow, for preparation for tonight, because the wind that came through was down here in the city of Groton, it was quite blustery. I dug out my battery, put it up next to my radio. I've got my power pole connections. So if my power goes out, I should be back in the air pretty quickly. So let's go down to the list and see how people are doing and what they may want to chat about today. We'll start with Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR in the TipsNet.
Hi, well, very good, Tim, and good evening to Steve. This is K1DCT. I don't think you have a lot of fear there in the city of Groton with Groton Utilities, Tim, but always good to be prepared. We actually had a little dip here about, about 20 minutes ago. Things went off, and a couple of minutes later, things came back on, so I'm not 100% I'll be here. I'm not 100% I'm here most of the time, but I may not have power at some point here. So, but with that, I certainly am no audio expert, but I will throw a couple of things here in to the ring. Sometimes I've heard people talk about your signal. You know, your signal's not making it to the repeater, or, you know, I don't hear your signal well if you're simplex. And it's a complicated issue because audio on its own is a signal, and a radio carrier on itself is also a signal. So when the two are combined, it's a modulated signal. So, you know, if you're talking about somebody getting into repeater or even simplex, the difference is, you know, is your RF signal strong enough to make it? And maybe your audio is low? Or is your audio good and you just kind of all over, a little rough on the edges? So signals are complicated things, and you know, won't even get into composite audio video stuff, because that's a whole nother element. That's all I have so far. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And I switched over to a microphone on my Echo Link so you can let me know whether this is better or worse than running it without a microphone. But, yeah, the modulated signal and the signal that gets reported through the repeater, I guess that's one of the problems I know I have is using the correct terminology to express what I'm trying to say. And that's something that I need to learn much, much better. Not just also in regards to describing anomalies of sound that I hear, but also just in what's the difference between, the audio portion versus the signal strength and so forth. But we'll move on to Steve, and maybe he's got a better grasp on this than I do. NK1B, KC1TWR.
NK1V here. And I will say, Tim, I guess you said you switched over to a microphone. It made a quite a noticeable difference, improvement. Yeah, the difference between, Dave explained, the actual audio versus RF signal is always tough to, especially like if I'm doing stuff, any kind of rapid stuff like an HF on the parks on the air or something, keeping hearing versus actually, I mean, the signal RF is actually the second number would be the actual power that's coming through the carrier. And you can have a very low carrier and be very legible, and vice versa. You can be have a very large carrier, you know, very high power needle going up and not really be able to be heard. So it's I guess that's why we do it that way, you know, 5.9 or 5.4, and I guess CW is the third number there that I haven't had to deal with yet. On the astronauts, that's I heard something about that, and I hadn't dug any deeper. I know that the past, last weekend, yes, I was out several times, and I have the space station frequencies in my, just scan through on my 2-meter radio and, my dual band, and I heard them, what I believe was slow scan television going on. Of course, I was not set up to take it, to listen to it, but a couple times I got full runs of it. You know, my wife thought it was kind of humorous. I was just listening to all that noise. I'd get very excited about it. And so, yeah, it'd be cool to actually make a contact with a person up there, phone one. And maybe one day I'll actually get a good signal while I'm getting, I'm set up to receive the data. Because I don't seem to be able to do both at the same time. Back to net, and K1V.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And, the slow scan TV event from the International Space Station actually ran until 1915 UTC today. So it's probably over at this point. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's over at this point. The meter set. Okay, needed a reset in order to do a little coughing or what have you, some tickle in the back of my throat. I think all that wind stirred up some pollen and what have you. The two astronauts, I just dug up the article, RRL, and one of them is Shane Kimbrough, K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H, has a call sign of Kilo Echo 5, Hotel Oscar Delta, and the other astronaut is Shannon Walker, and that she has a call sign of Kilo Delta 5, Delta X-ray Bravo. And let's see. And they have two other astronauts who are in the queue to take the license and exam. So that's good. And actually, those two completed a refresher course. I misread this. They're also saying European Space Agency astronaut Matthias Maurer, M-A-U-R-E-R, passed his amateur radio exam on July 30th. He got his basic ham operating training in July. He's now Kilo India 5, Kilo Foxtrot Hotel. So that's good. The other astronaut was NASA astronaut Kayla Barron, B-A-R-R-O-N, who completed her introductory course in June and passed the test and has a call sign of Kilo India 5, Lima Alpha Lima. So that's good. That's very good. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips That. We don't really have a major topic we're talking about tonight, although audio, I guess, could be one. If anybody else would like to join us this evening, please come now with your call sign phonetically.
Here is Kilo Zero, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh and Groton, good evening. No questions.
One, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck in the city of Groton. No questions.
Okay, we welcome Josh, K0JEB, and Chuck, W1FJW. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, welcome, gentlemen. I will let you both, you had reached the bottom of the list, so we're going to tack you on and give you instant service of the first round of the Tri-City Amateur Club Tips Net. Got to make sure which net I'm on. And we don't really have that much on the table. We're talking a little bit about audio quality and the difference between a 5.9 and a 5.7 or a 4.8 or a hike, and they're off. Okay, so if you can talk about that or anything you'd like. We'll go first to Josh, K0JEB. This is KC1TWR with a tips net.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Good evening, everyone. As far as the signal report stuff, I did send an email out back on August 23rd titled Ham Radio Knowledge, and it had a link with a web page that explained the readability, strength, and if you were doing CW, the tone signal report on the readability, 6 through 9 are not used. And if anyone's interested, that's not in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. If you would like me to forward the email to you, just send me an email, and I'll respond back with the link in the email for you. And it explains the difference, and on the CW portion of it, it explains, the different... the different tone characteristics that would indicate the difference between a 7 or a 9, but other than that, I didn't catch everything else that was before that, so I do apologize, but if anybody would like the link, it's kind of hard to say over the air, so I can do it via email. It's K0JB, back to net.
Thank you, Josh, for that offer and for that sharing of knowledge. Very good. And we haven't really been talking about much else, so you haven't missed much. Okay, let's move on to Chuck and see what he has to say about either audio or anything else he'd like to talk about this evening. W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
Yeah, I believe the final character of the RST, the tone bit for CW, is pretty much a noise criteria, how much hum was in your signal. Got to remember, when this was invented, radios that ran off alternating current were a new thing, and they were still working the problems of hum caused by alternating current on tube filaments and rectification without good filtering. Good electrolytics being a fairly modern thing. So so basically it was a measure of the noise or the tones you didn't want. Those extra signals that were not part of the intelligence you wanted to send. Because you remember, if it's not signal, it's noise. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck. It's a very good phrase. I like that. If it's not signal, it's noise. Or just noise. That's good. Okay, we've reached the end of the list, but I just did a call out, so I think we'll go back up to the top of the list. And I do have something to bring up, and that's the fact that on the SEC-Aries distribution list, there's a Thursday's Zoom session, and this Thursday evening at 9 p.m. is amateur radio in the time of zombies. And what this about is a fanciful thought experiment on building improvised radio equipment from scavenged parts. Let's see, the meeting is going to be recorded, so there will be a way to get to it afterwards. The meeting, I can forward the meeting details to anyone who has not received it. I did distribute it through Raycon in Tri-City. It usually takes about an hour or so, but it sounds like it'll be an interesting time, especially for you know, newer people such as myself who don't have all the background with the bits and parts and patching things together with bubblegum and wire and all that to make something work. So I think this, for me at any rate, I'm going to dial into this. I think it's going to be very interesting. The speaker is David Cripe, C-R-I-P-E. He is from NMOS Electronics, and his webpage basically says, sit back, pour a cup of coffee, plug in a soldering iron. You've come to the NMOS, and that's MM0S, I believe is the call sign. If you're looking for a fun, easy build kit, parts to build a new project, it's all here. And on his website, they talk about QRP kits, crystal radio, electronic parts, antenna parts, etc. So it looks like it'll be, I think, partially a sales pitch, but part of it is learning about bits and pieces. Okay, let me reset the repeater. Okay, and we'll move back, go back to Dave, and I don't know if you got that or not. If not, I will forward that to you if you're at all interested. Somehow I think you're an early to bed, early to rise person, but if you are interested, I can forward it to you. Or see what else you might have to say after everybody else's comments about audio. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, good evening to all. Chuck, Josh, this is K1DCT. Well, let's see, a couple of things I want to hit up here. The astronauts, I did forget to mention them. You know, they're getting the ham licenses. That should be no surprise. These are very, very smart people, you know, scientists, pilots, you know, they didn't just fall off the turnip truck like I did. They've got some background, so picking up a particularly a tech license should be no problem for them, and so, but. With that said, congratulations to them. Hope to hear them on the air. Hope to work the space station someday. I've got the frequencies plugged in here, but to yet, no avail. So, with that, we'll As far as the Zoom meeting tomorrow night, I'm not sure I'm going to be on it, but we are working on some stuff here, trying to figure out wind length and et cetera. So trying to get cranked up to maybe not maximum power, but intermediate power here. K1DCT, back to that.
Okay, very good, Dave. And concerning Winlink, if you need any advice or anything, there's several people on the net to the well, myself and Josh, and I think even Steve, who are adept at using Winlink. So, as a matter of fact, last night I was trading attachments, small pictures, with Joe, KB1MDF. So, it's Winlink has grown quite a lot in the past several years, and it's getting a lot more done. So let's move on to Steve, speaking about Steve, and see what else he has for us this evening about commentary on what we've been talking about, and see if he's interested in zombies. NK1V, KC1TWR, and the Tipsnet.
NK1V. Yeah, actually, Tim, I'd appreciate it if you forward me the information on that. I don't know, I'm usually early to bed, early to rise, but I actually forgot what time you said it was at, but maybe worth trying to stay up in the evening. Yeah, zombies are a funny story. We do a lot of, well, actually this year we're not doing anything, but in the past with the grandkids, we've done big camping events with based on Halloween, and of course it's zombies and such, and so I've acquired some patches that are like zombie response team and so on, and so I had a, went to, yes, I had to, 2 years ago I had to run my wife up to Canada to, obviously pre-COVID, for, she had a family emergency, and so I had to get her up to the airport in Montreal and stuff, so I just, the car was packed up with stuff, and there was a case in there with a full radio setup and stuff for, actually I wasn't doing Parks on the Air yet, but just a portable setup. So anyways, we go, I get her dropped off, she is on her way, and of course now I've been driving for quite a long time to get up there and get back, and crossing the border back in the United States, and they're searching the car, and going through, asking me 50 questions, because there was like five guys, and I was the only car coming through at the time, and it was in the middle of the winter, and snowy, and all that stuff. So in my trunk was a case, which was identified as a zombie response kit, full of all kinds of ham radio equipment and the kind of things you might need to make minor repairs during ham radio and stuff. And it was nothing but amusing to me. They didn't think it was so funny. They did not give me any hard time about it in the end, but they were quite interested in what I had back there. I think the big bright green sticker or patch on it kind of set them off. That's kind of a funny story. Back to that, and K1B.
That is amusing there, Steve. And not quite on the same level as being at an airport security line and saying, I've got a bomb. But I can imagine, you know, their thoughts when they see this big case talking about zombies and all the rest of it and questioning your mental sanity and all these electronic things inside that might be used to make something, well... Anyhow, I'm glad it worked out in the long run, and hopefully they got learned a little bit about amateur radio and maybe even got a little bit more interested in it. Maybe not, but it's always good to talk about it. Okay, next we'll move on to Josh and see what he thinks about the zombies or about more information about audio or anything else he'd like to talk about. K0JEB, KC1TWR, and the Tipsnet.
JB, zombie apocalypse. Well, when I was out in Arizona, I had more than enough firepower to hold off a zombie invasion. I had to lower my my gun count when I came out to Connecticut because of the current gun laws. But I like those patches. I've seen a few of them. I've actually seen a couple of good bumper stickers. But I'm more interested in hearing some more from Chuck W1FJW about the, he mentioned the old electrolytics that they used in the old capacitors. And I'm just wondering if he knows what type of electrolytic material they used back then and what they use now in the modern capacitors. Other than that, that's all I have. It's K0JB back to net.
Okay, very good questions that we will pose to Chuck in just a moment. First, we're going to say that this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Boy, let me untie my tongue here. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and we're always looking for anyone that might want to check in, bring their stories, or bring their questions. If anybody would like to join, please come with your call sign now. Answer for Josh about the electrolytic materials, or if there's anything else you'd like to talk about. W1FJW, KC1TWR, the TipsNet.
Yeah, in the old days when I was a kid, you'd get a electrolytic about an inch and a half in diameter and about 6 inches tall, and it'd be 4 microfarads at 250 volts or something, and they're much smaller, much more reliable, and pretty well better off now. The main difference, well, is there's two main differences in the electrolytics then and now. One is in the etching. You got to remember that the two pieces of aluminum foil of the electrolytic, only one of them is the actual plate of the capacitor. The other plate, or parallel surface of the capacitor, is the electrolyte, and the other piece of aluminum is just an electrode to collect the current from the electrolyte. And the capacitance is based on the surface area, and flat aluminum doesn't, you know, a square foot of flat aluminum has a square foot of surface area, but if you etch little lines and grooves and hills and valleys in it and make it a rough surface, then you get much more surface area and much higher capacitance for the same piece of aluminum. So by etching and really convoluting the surface, they get a much higher capacitance per volume. The other thing is sealing. The old electrolytics, some of the early ones were just sealed with like a hard paraffin wax, and they cracked and dried out, and no matter what you have for an electrolyte, when it dries out, it becomes pretty much an insulator and it doesn't work. So the new, you know, neoprene seals and plastics make it much easier to make a electrolytic tight enough so it doesn't dry out. The electrolyte has changed too, but it's a little hard to get any information on that because every manufacturer has his secret proprietary additives to the electrolyte. Basically, it's something that will corrode copper, as you were, corrode aluminum, and form a super thin ceramic insulating surface around the one active plate. And so I forget what it is they put in the electrolyte. They put something in there to react with the aluminum to form aluminum oxide, because the insulation of an between one plate and the other being the electrolyte, is the microscopic thin layer of ceramic or aluminum oxide that formed on the active plate. So, but everybody puts proprietary additives to make their electrolyte more conductive, so that there'll be less equivalent series resistance in the capacitor. And in the old days, they had tabs off the aluminum foil to come down and make contact, and now they use the whole edge of the aluminum foil and other things, so they just got better. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you for that explanation there, Chuck. Very informative. I learned a lot myself about electrolytes and about the aluminum plates and all of that. Thinking back on it in the tech class, because so many people buy equipment already put together, and there isn't so much, even cars, people don't go out and put, you know, just the points in a car, replace spark plugs, etc. So that, I'm beginning to think that maybe at the tech class, there should be a little bit more hands-on with small pieces of materials, like whether it's something as simple as just using a potato to, you know, light a little bulb, or to, you know, as a battery or what have you, or building the inner insides of a tube, basically, and showing that it works. Is better than just putting it up on a chalkboard or a whiteboard. So, anyhow, just food for thought. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. Anybody else that would like to join the tips net, why don't you come with your call sign now. Okay, I just figured I'd do another call. We're at the bottom of the list. We'll do another round, because I think it's early enough. And I have another item from the ARRL webpage that I found of interest. I don't know if anybody else does, but I did. The British Columbia Radio Amateurs hear Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. According to spaceweather.com, Scott Tilley, T-I-L-L-E-Y, call sign Victor Echo 7, Tango India Lima in British Columbia, Canada, received a signal from the NASA Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter that's flying 274 kilometers above the red planet's surface. Signal was an X-band carrier containing no data or telemetry. And he explained its purpose is to allow for Doppler tracking. And so I used a homemade satellite dish to hear the orbiter. So I found that very interesting. Apparently he enjoys tracking down signals from dead satellites, zombie satellites, talking about zombies, and spy satellites. But the MRO was first for him, because that was, I think, so far away. So I found that of interest. So anyhow, that's what I brought to the table. We'll go down to the list again for any more comments that people may have. And we'll start with Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR.
All right, well, good evening. This is K1DCT. I'm not chasing any zombies. We're looking forward to that. But I am prepared if necessary. And, yeah, electrolytics have definitely changed. Being a somewhat collector, restorer of antique tabletop and console radios, the electrolytics that used to be wrapped up in a can with paper and all that stuff, they didn't make the trip. The new stuff is smaller, better, supersonic, we'll call it. That's about it. I don't have much else to comment on here, so turn it back to Net, K1DCT.
Okay, very good, Dave. Glad you're prepared for when the zombies do attack. Although I often think most zombies are pretty dumb, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. Anyhow, let's move on to Steve and K1B, find out if he had any further exploits with zombies or what he thinks about the electrolytes. And NK1B, KC1TWR, and the tips name.
NK1V. Yes, Chuck's explanation was very, I appreciate it very much. I would not be able to repeat it to anybody to make any sense, but I do have the gist of it, and actually that was a good question, especially for TipsNet, and a good answer. Gentleman in Western Canada there, the listening and the signals, and I can't even imagine how, I guess if he does a lot of that, it is pretty cool, because I'm actually amazed at how many, you know, just listening on a general receiver, going through how many things out there that I really cannot identify. I don't know what they are. I'm sure there are those who know exactly what it is, but I don't. And to hear something that distance, just a carrier, and be able to identify it, and it's kind of cool. I don't know if I would have the time or the patience to do that, but I do listen and, you know, just spin around every once in a while and see what kind of strange things I can hear, and there's a lot out there. And so that's kind of a neat thing, you know, and I've actually been out to Edmonton and met a huge group of some serious ham operators. They just had a huge compound. I saw no zombie fighting equipment, though, just radio stuff, lots of towers. Maybe something was hidden. They just have some Connex containers, so I wasn't really sure it was in there. So anyways, back to that, and K1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Yeah, I too am amazed by how these people can ferret out which signal is what. And the same person in 2018 saw the quote-unquote signature of the imager for magnetopause to aura global image, global exploration, or its acronym is IMAGE, I-M-A-G-E. It's a NASA spacecraft believed to have died in 2005. And the discovery delighted the space scientists. So glad that people are out there doing this. Okay, let's move on to Josh. And I guess the question for Josh is, what did you think of Chuck's explanation of electrolytes? K0JEB, KC1TWR, and the tip set.
It's K0JB. I thought the answer was very, very well explained, and that's why I asked it. I was pretty sure I'd get some good information out of asking that question, so I do appreciate it, Chuck. As far as the satellite listening and tracking and stuff like that, I have dabbled in learning about it. I do know that inline signal amplifiers and stuff like that are definitely needed. I've seen some online material referring to how you can reuse old satellite dishes, such as a DirecTV dish, if you replace the, I forget the name of it, the piece you put on the on the tip of it is the piece that actually gets the signal off the bounce on the curved dish. But I guess some of the satellites out there, you actually need the big old satellite dishes to be able to hear the signals, and that's very fascinating. I've done a lot of signal finding using my SDR dongle here on the computer, and that's about all I have. Thanks, guys, for a wonderful net tonight. SK0JB, back to net.
Thank you, Josh, and I too think Chuck's explanation was very, very well done, very informative. And speaking of Chuck, we're going to go back to Chuck for any comments. I think this is going to be the end of the first section of the TipsNet, so anything else you have for us there, Chuck? W1FJW, KC1TWR on the TipsNet.
Well, a couple things. I'm thinking Josh was trying to think of a LNB, low noise block converter, which is a device that takes the usually pretty high microwave signal, a fairly low microwave but fairly high UHF signal from the satellite and just moves it in a block down to the VHF range. And the other thing I was thinking about was, you know, some of the junk that I collect could be considered zombies, like burned out light bulbs. You'd say, why would you collect burned out light bulbs? Well, compact fluorescent bulbs, each and every one has an electronic ballast in the base, which has a minimum of not one, not two, but four. Count them, four. Diodes and a full wave rectifier bridge. It has a 200 volt electrolytic capacitor, usually a 15 or 22 microfarad device, a pair of 200 volt power transistors and toroids and gap chokes and resistors and just tons of wonderful things to be harvested. Burned out LED bulbs typically have a similar type ballast, although not as complex, and they usually have six groups of four LEDs each, and each group takes 10.8 volts and can swallow up to an eighth of an amp, and it works out to about a watt and a half, and with a small ballast resistor, they work just fine off a car battery. There's any number of things you can do. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, excellent information. Thank you, Chuck. That's very true. Sum of the parts equals something quite fascinating. Okay, before we go on to the next section, are there any additional check-ins or comments that anybody would like to make on the first section of the TipsNet? If so, please call now. We'll start the second section of the TipsNet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? If so, please call now. Okay, hearing none. Let's see, looking at the calendar, it looks like next Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club monthly meeting. And you can check their website in a few days, and they'll have posted the Zoom session that they will be having. It's open to all amateur, open to everybody, really. Also, next Thursday on the 15th is the RACON monthly meeting, and that will be, unless I hear otherwise, it will be on the N1NW Norwich 146.73 repeater. There is also a New England Aries University, I think is what they're calling it, with a whole bunch of evening courses that are about an hour and a half long, starting next Tuesday evening, I believe, and it runs for a couple of weeks. And they also have a couple of sessions on Saturday. Each one is unique unto itself, so you know, if you miss one, you're not going to be at a loss for the next session that they have. I'll be sending out an email en masse about that in case anybody's interested. These courses are free. They are over a Zoom session. And because I believe this is all of New England, there's going to be a number of people on them. So it's going to be mostly presentation-style instruction. They're going to talk about WinLink. I think they have another one on advanced WinLink. They have one on grounding your equipment. They also have one on basic Aries and what it means and what it does, and a number of other sessions. So if you're interested, send me an email, or you may get the one I send out. Any questions on any of that, please call down. Okay, we'll move on to the third section. And, okay, third section is going to be divided into two parts. The first part is normal, and that's now for the third section. TipsNet, is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango.
K0JB.
Okay, we'll take you in the order received. I have both K1DCT and K0JEB, so we'll go with K1DCT first. Please proceed.
Yes, I'd say it's loosely amateur-related equipment. I have a surplus of F connectors, typically used for cable TV stuff, but could be used for other things. So if you have a need for some F connectors, don't buy any. Let me know what you need, and you know, I've probably got I don't know 25-30 of them here that I will never use. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, anybody with questions for Dave with his statement that he has F connectors, come with your call sign now.
W1FJW.
W1FJW, go ahead and call K1DCT.
Dave, are these F connectors for RG59 or for RG6? W1FJW.
These are for RG6, K1DCT.
Thank you. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, very good. Now we'll move on to Josh, K0JEP. Please proceed.
It's K0JEB. For those of you that may not know, I've been dabbling in 3D printed items over here, and I just wanted to offer it out to anyone. If you have any small ham related items that you would like to see if they could be 3D printed, you can contact me via my email, which is goodonqrz, and maybe I can help you out. This is K0JB back to net.
Okay, anyone with questions for Josh concerning the 3D printing, go ahead and call him directly. Okay, very good. Any other items for cell swap or looking for, please call now. Okay, now we're going to go into the second part of the third section. First part of the second part, something like that. Anyhow, the thought had crossed my mind, and I should have brought this up in the first section, and that is, but we still have a few minutes before 8, that is the thought that we did not have a Raycon auction this year. We did not have a Tri-City auction. The way things are going, I think it's a little doubtful we'll have a Raycon auction. I haven't spoken to anybody else. This is not an official saying they're not going to. This is my personal thought. And I even question whether there'll be a Tri-City auction next October with the way that COVID-19 is going. So my question is, with various people out there who have things that they would normally sell at the auction or things they would like to look at in the auction, I'm wondering what people's thoughts are. As far as there's always eBay, there's always QTH and so forth, but for something that could be driven, let's say, off of the Raycon page or the Tri-City page, should we have, or might not be a bad idea to have, for instance, just advertise saying that there's going to be an online bidding of items with good quality pictures of all the boxes of treasure and the various items that people want to put out there. Is that something that anybody thinks would work or not? Or is that really just kind of a pipe dream? Because I really don't see how we can do this in a face-to-face environment. But I'm still trying to continue to let equipment move around within the amateur radio environment down here in southeastern Connecticut. So anyhow, anybody have any thoughts on that? This is KC1TWR. Okay, hearing nothing, it's probably too big of a subject to bring up off the cuff and so quickly, so maybe we'll talk about that next week, or maybe I'll talk to the various officers of the various clubs and see what they might think about such a thing. Okay, we're going to go into closing of the net, although before we do that, this is a last call for... Now, Dave, we're not doing drinks. This is the last call for either check-ins or comments or crosstalk. Please come with your call sign. Okay, very good. That covers that, which means that it is that time. And I have, I think, a little bit less than 30 seconds to close. No, oh, too late. It's already 8. So I'm a minute over. Okay, that was the last call. And I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club net this evening. Dave, Steve, Josh, and Chuck. And thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. Also, I'd like to thank W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX repeater, and also K1IKE for the Echolink connection, which is W1DX-R, Whiskey 1 Delta X-ray-Romeo in Echolink. The Tri-City Amateur Radio, oh, and also Kevin, KA6PDG, for recording these nets and making them available at am1700.org/tipsnet. Make sure and put /tipsnet or you won't find it. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the American Red Cross office in Montville, but lately they've been on Zoom, so check out their webpage in a couple of days for the meeting information. The webpage is www.tricityarc.net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo wishing everyone good evening and 73.
ACC1TWR disconnected.
Yeah.